Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning. I want to welcome you here to worship this morning. We are glad you're here with us this beautiful summer day. It is an absolute delight and treat to be able to worship while the sun is out. But it's a delight and a treat to worship with you even when it's dreich, even when the sky is gray and dingy, even when it's chucking it down. I'm just as happy to be in God's house with all of you in the sunshine or rain any time of day. It is always our pleasure to be in God's house, to sing God's praises, to listen to the Holy Scriptures, and to be in each other's presence. It is one of the joys and wonders that brings us to worship, that binds us together by the power of the Holy Spirit. So friends, let us focus our hearts and our minds on a God who loves us and away from the busyness of the day-to-day, as we worship with our whole hearts and minds. Friends, let us begin worship by singing together our first hymn, number 562, Through the Love of God Our Savior. I'd like to invite our scripture reader to come forward now.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get ready and go south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This road is not used nowadays." So Philip got ready and went. Now, an Ethiopian eunuch, who was an important official in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia, was on his way home. He had been to Jerusalem to worship God and was going back home in his carriage. As he rode along, he was reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to that carriage and stay close to it." Philip ran over and heard him reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. He asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The official replied, "How can I understand unless someone explains it to me?" And he invited Philip to climb up and sit in the carriage with him. The passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "Like a shepherd that is taken to be slaughtered, like a lamb that makes no sound, when its wool is cut off, he did not say a word. He was humiliated and justice was denied him. No one will be able to tell about his descendants because of his life on earth has come to an end." The official asked Philip, "Tell me, of whom is the prophet saying this, of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, starting from this passage of scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled down the road, they came to a place where there was some water. And the official said, "Here is some water. What is to keep me from being baptized?" The official ordered the carriage to stop, and both Philip and the official went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. The official did not see him again, but continued on his way, full of joy. Philip found himself in Azotus. He went on to see Caesarea, and on the way, he preached the good news in every town. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. We continue service by singing hymn 553, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea."
Thank you.
As we prepare to reflect on our scripture reading this morning, let us first offer up a brief word of prayer. Heavenly God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us this morning, that it would be your word that is spoken and heard, that the Holy Spirit would guide us this morning and evermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, today's scripture reading is one that I would categorize as one of the more well-known scriptures from the book of Acts, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip on the road to Gaza. The story begins with Philip being spoken to by an angel of God, commanding him to go southward towards Gaza, as he has already successfully spread the gospel in Samaria, and now God is sending him on his next task. So he begins walking down the road when he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, this person is interesting for two reasons. One is there are references in Isaiah where eunuchs who honor the Sabbath are welcome in God's house. And I think that this is probably important because throughout the book of Acts, the theme of who is welcome in God's house is a major part of the story and who is allowed to worship God. Secondly, we know that this man has money. One, because we are told he's an important official in charge of the treasury, but two, he has his own chariot that is large enough for himself, a guest, and the Holy Scriptures. Now, they didn't have their Holy Scriptures in such a compact form back then. The Scriptures would have been on very big scrolls and would have required space to unfurl them and read them. So we know that this man is important to our story and plays an important role in the lives of those around him. Now, the reason why we know that this man is going to be important is because the Spirit of God, not an angel, goes to Philip and says, "Go stand by that chariot." At which point, Philip runs to catch up to the chariot. But we are not told if this chariot is halted, if he is in motion and going slowly, or if he is moving swiftly down the road. One of the theologians in my textbook this week posited it might not be fun for Philip, but it's a very real possibility he had this conversation while running full tilt down the road, trying to talk to the man next to him. Regardless, Philip moves up to be by the chariot and hears this man reading the prophet Isaiah. And something that had never occurred to me to ever ask in my reading of this story was brought up this week as a part of my research. Why was he reading out loud? I thought it was a good question. And in fact, there's a simple answer. Everyone read out loud in the ancient world. They didn't read silently, and those who did, we have historical documents saying, "It's so strange the way he reads quietly," because everyone else reads out loud every time they read. And it is probably good that this is so, because when Philip moves up to the cart, he can hear the man reading out loud a difficult scripture to understand. And so Philip asks him, "Do you understand what it is that you're reading?" And the response is one of the most wonderful statements in the Bible, in my opinion. He says to him, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" I have said this before, and I will say it again and again. Scripture is difficult to understand, and the prophets doubly so. I have had the fortunate experience of having lots of teachers walk me through how to interpret and how to understand Scripture. But even I still need teachers to learn new things. This week I learned that people in the ancient world read scripture out loud. Now the passage in this question is being read out loud, and it is one that is attributed to Jesus Christ. And Philip is well versed in his story. So the eunuch wonders out loud, is this prophet speaking of himself or another? And Philip says, let me tell you about Jesus. And begins to open the scriptures to him and speaks on his story, who he was, what he did. And as they're going along this road, the eunuch spots water. We're not told if it's a lake or a stream, but there is water. And he turns to Philip and says, what can stand in the way of me being baptized? This is a question that I have received in many forms throughout my ministry. And for me, one of the more important responses to this question is to ask, do you genuinely desire to be baptized? And this eunuch genuinely seeks to be baptized. And so he goes down to the water with Philip. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of God takes Philip away, like the prophets of old being whisked around in chariots of fire, taking up into heaven. And the eunuch goes on his way, rejoicing, praising God, celebrating the truth of Jesus Christ, his baptism, and the good news he has to share with all whom he meets. And then Philip begins to make his way up the coast, teaching and preaching, where he will rejoin the story at a later time. As I was reading the scriptures this week, the thing that really stood out to me is how relatable this story is 2,000 years later. The line, how can I understand it if nobody explains it to me, truly encapsulates so much of our lives. And it's not just about the scriptures. It is everyday living. Someone had to explain to me what Gietlaldi meant. No one tells me, how am I to know that it means to sing with everything I have, with gusto, to give it my all? There are so many things that we rely on others to teach us. Truly, no one can survive without another's help. And I was given so much aid through my life. When I was young, I was read the Bible by my parents, and then I had Sunday school teachers who would teach me. We used the little felt boards where you would put up the characters and you would tell the stories. And when I became a surly teenager, unbearable to be around, my church family didn't give up on me. I still had people every week who would come by and would try to talk to me. I would try to ignore them, and they would still try to connect with me. God bless them. And when I went to university, I met with teachers for the first time who really fed in me the love of learning something new. Dr. Wise taught us in our Bible study course, and he really showed me that the scriptures are truly endless, that I am going to be doing this for probably the rest of my life. And I will not run out of new things to learn. I will never not have the opportunity to learn more about the Bible and how it is read and how it is interpreted. I went on to seminary and I met theological professors who taught me how to dissect scripture and look at history and look at language and see how I can interpret the scripture for myself. And yet, even with all of this training, I am still imperfect. All of us need another's help to learn the scriptures. There is no exception to this rule. I have had help built up across my life, and I still receive it in new forms today. But I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that's a wonderful thing. It is a joy to teach others, and it is a great joy to be taught. Every day is a school day, was a phrase that haunted me as a child. But as an adult, it is one that brings me great comfort and joy to know that there will always be something new to learn. Whether I'm learning a new Scots word, whether I'm learning something about local history, or something about the ancient world, I am surrounded by the joy of learning everywhere I go. And it is by God's grace that I get to be a part of it. Whenever we have Bible studies, we get to dig in together as adults who have learned the scriptures and talk about how we feel them and see them. And there is truly something wonderful getting to know the people around you by talking about what's in the scripture. When I go to the schools, I share with them the scripture stories that I think are interesting and foundational for understanding what we know about God. And yes, even from our youngest kids, I learn new things. They're not always helpful, but I do learn new things. And the thing that the kids are always giving me in abundance is a desire to be curious. No, I've never thought to ask the question, who is taller, Jesus or Joseph? But I had multiple children who were very keen to know the answer to this question. They help kindle that curiosity in my life. And we're never truly alone. When we read our Bible, we have our experiences and the voices of those around us who help walk us through it. But we are also not alone because the Spirit of God is still playing a part in our lives. The Spirit of God was with Philip, pushing him to say, "Catch up to that cart." The Spirit of God was the one who whisked him away and said, "You're on to the next thing." We are never alone when we study and learn. God is with us still. And if we look at the story of Philip and the story of our lives, we never know how long it is that we will be around to share what we know with those around us. Philip didn't know he was only going to have an afternoon with the eunuch, so he told him as much as he could. The disciples didn't know they would have Jesus for about 3 years. But they learned as much as they could with him. And we too are in the same case. We do not know how long we will be in each other's lives, whether it is by moving away or moving on. And so it is the story that we hear today that we should share our hearts meaningfully with each other. We should not be afraid to share our feelings and our story to teach one another, because it is our joy and our calling to do so. So I hope today that you will remember that we must work together to learn the gospel, because it is not something that is taught alone. It is not something that is understood alone. It is an experience we share together. And the Holy Spirit is a part of that. The Holy Spirit still has a hand in our lives, still plays a part in sharing and spreading that gospel. It just operates in a different way than it used to. Prophets and preachers are not whisked away by the Spirit to heaven, but the Spirit of God is still with us, gently tapping us on the shoulder and whispering in our ears, trying to guide us and lead us to where God wants us to be. We just have to listen, and we have to work together to learn what God is asking of us. Friends, this is the good news of our scripture reading today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, you call us to be in community together, to share in the joy of learning your holy scriptures, to share in the joy of learning our lived experiences. We ask that you would give us hearts of joy to share our stories with others, to be shared with in kind, that we would grow closer together and closer to you, that your Holy Spirit would continue to lead us and guide us for all of our days. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Friends, let us sing together our final hymn, number 622. We sing A Love That Sets All People Free. Whether it is you depart after our final amens or a time of fellowship spent together, take with you this charge and benediction when you go. Friends, the good news of our gospel today is this. It is our joy and privilege to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share the truth of what the gospel means. And we do not do so alone, for no one can understand the scriptures alone. We do it together as a family of God, and we do it led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that wonderful news? And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us, always.